Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Niver. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nivert.
The Lord Jesus Christ was on His way to Jerusalem to be crucified. This was His purpose for coming, to die on Calvary's tree as the sin-bearing substitute, and His face was set as a flint as He went toward Jerusalem to be crucified. On the way to Jerusalem, He went through a town called Jericho. Now, if you would have gone through the town of Jericho and asked, who is the most despised, disrespected man in town, you may have got several answers, but the answer that you would have got most often would be Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a publican, the chief publican, and he was very rich. He was a man who made a living as a tax collector for the Roman government, and that would have made the Jews despise him. And he had become rich through dishonest means of getting money from his brethren, padding the tax bill in order to enrich himself. Now, I doubt that Zacchaeus was a religious man. He wouldn't have been a good Jew and worked for the Roman government. And when people would see him coming, perhaps they would turn their head, or perhaps they would even say things to him. He was a very wealthy man. We read in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, we know that Zacchaeus had a very notorious reputation, because when the Lord Jesus went into his house, we read in verse 7, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, a publican was put in the same class as harlots and Gentiles. They were looked upon as the moral scum of the earth by the Jewish people. And Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man, and by his own admission in this passage of Scripture, he had ripped people off. Look what he says in verse 8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold." Zacchaeus was certainly a man who was morally challenged. He was a bad man. And he's someone who you would not have liked. If you would see him, you would have been resentful. Such is the man that the Lord came to save. Now let's read in verse 3, this man who is the chief among the publicans and very rich. It says, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Idle curiosity? Perhaps. But here is the one and the only issue. Forget about Zacchaeus. Forget about yourself. Who is Jesus Christ? That is the one issue. Who is Jesus Christ? This is even more important than what you think of Him. You know that scripture, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He?" As important that as that is, what you think of Him is predicated upon you knowing who He is. Who is Jesus Christ? Now perhaps Zacchaeus had heard many things about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he now wants to find out who He is. Now, I'm not asking you if you believe that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. Perhaps you do not, or at any rate, you're not sure. I'm not asking you if you believe in the miracles of Scripture. I'm not even asking you if you feel confident that you can prove the existence of God. You can't. Here's the question. Who is Jesus Christ? That's the question I want to address you. I'm asking myself. Who is Jesus Christ? Now, I know who He claimed to be. In John chapter 4, that woman in the well said to Him when she didn't know who He was, she said, I know that when Messiah's come, He'll tell us all things. And the Lord looked at that woman and said, I that speak unto thee am He. In John chapter 9, He said to a man who was born blind that He'd restored his sight to, He said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And the man replied, who is He, Lord, that I might believe? And the Lord said, thou hast both seen Him, and it's He that talketh with thee. Philip, one of His disciples, said, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. And He said, he that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. He didn't say it's just like He saw the Father, or one who's very much like the Father, or even one who's exactly like the Father. He that has seen Me hath seen the Father. When the Pharisees replied to His claim, Abraham rejoiced to see My day, and he saw it and was glad, they said, you're not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen our father Abraham? And He said, before Abraham was, I am. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's the name of God. Remember in Exodus 3:14 where Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And He said, tell them, I am has sent thee. I am that I am. The Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be the great I Am, the eternal God, God the Son. Now, He's either who He said He is, or He's a terribly deluded figure, or He's an imposter. Which is it? Who is Jesus Christ? This man Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus who He was. You know, that's when salvation begins in a man's experience. When he seeks to find out who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, we read in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus who He was and could not. He was unable to see who He was. He could not for the press because he was little of stature. Now, when anyone first begins to seek to find out who Jesus Christ is, the first thing they find out is that they're unable to know who He is. They're unable to find out. It's beyond their ability to know who He really is. You see, the Lord Himself said, no man knows the Son but the Father. Now, yes, this man was of little stature, but he was little in other ways. He was a sinful man, and that rendered him unable to spiritually see who the Lord is. Now, this is the state you and I are in by nature. We can't know who He is. We can't know Him unless He is pleased to make Himself known. We're completely unable to know Christ, to know God, to know any truth regarding God, unless He's pleased to make it known. We're shut up to revelation. You can't figure this out. The knowledge of Christ doesn't come by education. It comes by revelation. And you and I are in His hands. He can make Himself known, or He can be pleased to pass us by. Whatever He does is right, but we find out that knowing Him is beyond our ability. We cannot know Him unless He is pleased to make Himself known. Now let's go on reading. So after he could not see who he was, we read in verse 4, "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." Anything more than idle curiosity? I don't know, but he did this anyway. So there he sits, waiting for the Lord to pass by. Now, he didn't know who he was. He'd heard of him. He'd heard things about him. He was excited about seeing him. He runs ahead of the crowd, climbs up in a tree, and he's going to wait for the Lord to pass that way so he can get a look at him. I love to think of Zacchaeus, this rich, wealthy publican, a despised man sitting up in a tree, waiting for the Lord to come by. Now we read in verse 5, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up." Now he's on his way to Jerusalem. His face has set as a flint, and he is going to do what the Father sent him to do. And on his way there, he stops at this place where this tree is, and he looks up at Zacchaeus. And he called him by name. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. That word "saw" has a whole lot more to do with a knowledge. It doesn't simply mean he saw him physically. He knew him altogether. He knew who he was. He knew his name. He'd known him since before the foundation of the world. This was an elect sinner. This was somebody he came to save. This is somebody he came to die for. This is someone whom he'd set his saving love on from eternity. He looked up and he saw him. And he knew him altogether. And he called him by name. Zacchaeus? You reckon Zacchaeus was shocked? He didn't know the Lord knew his name. Oh, he was utterly shocked when the Lord stopped and looked up in the tree and called him by name. "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Now here we have a beautiful illustration of what is known as the effectual call. When God calls a sinner by His grace. And not everybody is called. He only calls the elect. He doesn't call all men without exception. He calls the elect those who believe. Whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Now, He didn't predestinate everybody to salvation, only the elect, and whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Now, let me give you some things about this call. First of all, it was a most gracious call. Zacchaeus was a bad man. He didn't have anything about him that could recommend him to God. He was an evil, sinful man that made a living through dishonest gain. Nobody liked him. Everybody was against him. But the Lord graciously called this sinful man. I'm so thankful the Lord calls men like that, because if He didn't, I would never be called. Any sinner finds hope in this. The only people who object to this doctrine are people who think themselves to be righteous. But sinners will rejoice in this. This was a most gracious call. And it was a personal call. You know, a lot of folks look at the gospel as so generic. He's dying for everybody, but that doesn't secure the salvation of anybody because it's up to what man does. But that's so contrary to the gospel. This was a personal call. Zacchaeus. It wasn't a generic call. It was a personal call. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down today. I must abide at thy house. Very much like he said to Lazarus when Lazarus was in the graveyard. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. It was a personal call. Now somebody says, well, how can I know if he's called me personally? Well, you can know. And here's how you know. If he's called you, you'll be calling upon him. You'll be calling upon him to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The called call. That's how they know they've been called. I don't know I've been called because I've heard my name audibly. But I'll tell you this, I'm calling on the name of the Lord right now to save me. Lord, save me. It was a personal call and it was a hastening call. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till you get better. Don't wait till you understand more. Make haste right now and come down. Now, if you can wait till tomorrow, he hadn't called you. When he calls, it's a hastening call. When he calls, you respond. And if I don't respond, he never called me. It was a hastening call and it was a humbling call. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. The way up in the kingdom of heaven is down. Come down from your pride and self-righteousness. Come down from your haughty and high thoughts of yourself. Come down into the dust. Come down from your self-sufficiency. The way up in the kingdom of heaven is down. Remember, everybody that exalts himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And this call was a necessary call. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, there's only one reason the Lord Jesus Christ must do anything. He must do his Father's will. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Zacchaeus was an elect sinner. Christ would soon die for. Therefore, he must abide at his house. He must call Zacchaeus. He must save him by his grace. There's a divine necessity to it. It's God's purpose. Today, I must abide at thy house. And it was an effectual call. Look what verse 6 says. After the Lord said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. The Scripture says he made haste. And he came down. And he received him joyfully. This is an effectual call. You see, when God calls like this, men always do what he tells him to do. Now, if you can resist the call, it's because you've never really been called. When he calls, you'll respond. He made haste and he came down and he received him. This is what people do who the Lord saves. They receive him. They receive everything about him. They receive him as he is. And he received him joyfully. The gospel came as good news to him. He came down, he made haste, and he received him joyfully. And let's go on reading. Verse 7. And when they saw, who are they? The religious fellows, the Pharisees. When they saw, they all murmured, saying that he, speaking of the Lord Jesus, is gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Religious people never liked the gospel. They murmur at it like they murmured at our Lord at this time. Why, if he can just be a guest with this man, that encourages bad behavior. Why, the Lord's ruining his testimony being around a man like that. He's giving countenance to sin and saying it's okay by being with this man. And when he says he's gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner, it's literally a sinful man. This man was full of sin. If you cut him open, look inside him, all there is sin. Very much like Peter felt when he said to the Lord, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. You don't want to have anything to do with me. I'm full of sin. That's all I am. Now they murmured at him. He's gone to be guest with a sinful man. Now, if you're not a sinful man, I suppose you'd be offended too. But who is happy that he's gone to be guest with a sinful man? A sinful man. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul the Apostle said this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Now, while the religious people murmured, let's see what Zacchaeus had to say. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. He found out who he was. He said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. Now, the Lord didn't tell him to do any of these things, but they came uncoerced. This is what Zacchaeus now wanted to do. He was doing what he wanted to do when he said this to the Lord. And I love the way he found out who the Lord is. Behold, Lord. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. He found out he is the Lord. Now, no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost, according to 1 Corinthians 8:3. And what that is a reference to is really believing his Lord. It's not just talking about saying audibly, but believing he's the Lord of creation. He spake the world into existence. He's the Lord of providence. He controls everything that takes place. He's the Lord of salvation. If I'm saved, it's because he saved me. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, he did these things freely and spontaneously. He had been given a new heart, and he now desires these things. Verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now listen to the language. Remember when the Lord said, today I must abide in thy house? And then he says, after Zacchaeus makes this proclamation, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything wrongly, I restore it. He said, this day is salvation come to this house. The Lord Jesus is salvation. Salvation walked into his house. This day is salvation come to this house. You know who the Lord is seen in his salvation. In Exodus 3:14, when he said, I am that I am, they tell me, or I've read certain writers who say that the Hebrew has this implication, that means I save in the manner which I save. If you want to know who the Lord is, find out how he saves. All of his attributes are displayed in his salvation. His justice, his wisdom, his holiness, his power. I am that I am. I save in the manner which I save. Jesus Christ is salvation. I think of Simeon saying, now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, when he was holding the Lord Jesus Christ. He is salvation. Today, salvation is coming to this house because he made these confessions of, I'm going to start giving to the poor and so on. No. Here's why salvation is coming to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now, he's not talking about a physical son of Abraham at this time, because there were all kinds of physical sons of Abraham and daughters of Abraham in the right there. He's talking about a spiritual son of Abraham, one who believes, one that God has done something for. Here is the true Jew. Here is the true son of Abraham, that person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a son of Abraham. Not a physical son, but a spiritual son, a child of the promise, one of God's elect. This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, here we have the mission statement of the Son of Man. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And let me say this before I talk about this lost part. Whatever the Lord intends to do, that's what He does. If He came to seek and to save that which was lost, He sought out and He saved that which was lost. Now, this thing of being lost, what does this mean? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, all men were lost when Adam fell. We were all condemned by what he did, and we were lost when Adam fell. But he didn't come to save everybody that was lost in that sense. We're all lost by our own personal sin. We're lost by practice. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone is lost in that sense, but he didn't come to save all those people. The people he came to save are those who are lost in this sense. I'm lost. I can't find my way back. I can't get to God. I'm utterly helpless. If God doesn't do something for me, if He doesn't come to me, I'll be damned eternally. I'm lost and I can't get back. I'm completely helpless. And here's the people He came to save. Those people. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the Lord Jesus, or the angel said concerning the Lord Jesus, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." And that's exactly what He did. On Calvary's tree, He saved His people from their sins. My sin became His. He bore my sin in His own body on the tree. He bore the penalty and the curse against sin. He washed away my sins. His righteousness is given to me, to every one of His people. He has saved His people from their sins. When He said, "It is finished," mission accomplished. Not halfway finished, not mostly finished, but He completely saved His people from their sins. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and He did in fact Now, we have this message on cassette tape, CD, or DVD. You call the church or write or email. We'll send you a copy.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.